This is one of the, we're here at, for a presentation by one of our visiting scholars, and I think it is on an extremely timely topic. Let me introduce our speaker first. Major Chan Namjan Hyun. Right. Is that you? It's written here in English, so I don't know the exact Korean letters, or Chan Hyun Nam. And he's been a visiting fellow and visiting scholar at the Seeger Center for Asian Studies in the Elliott School of International Affairs. He is an artillery officer for the ROK Army. He received his MA in National Security Affairs from Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and the Korean National Defense University in Seoul, South Korea. From 2014 to 2016, he was a military history instructor at the KMA. His research focuses on national defense policy, South-North Korea relations, and modern military history. And today he's going to be talking about the security challenges facing the recently elected South Korean government. Please welcome Chan Hyun Nam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Before I start talking, I would like to thank everyone for coming to today's visiting scholar round table. And also, I'm a little bit sorry about my English speaking. I'm not good English speaker and I'm fluently, so please understand about that. Next month, I will be stationed to Cheolwon. Somebody know about Cheolwon. That was a battlefield of White Horse Hill in 1952. So I think I'm in dream. I'm walking down street, Washington Street, and I'm in same place with Mr. Brzezinski. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's time to go back my real world. So it make me disappointed. Yeah. As you all of you know, since 2016 until this very moment, South Korea has had critical series of events, from impeachment of President Park and to new presidential election. For a military officer, every day in this situation would be emergency, but I can avoid these complicating things because I'm in DC, so I'm enjoying staying in DC. So I also would like to thank the Elliott School and George Washington University for inviting me, particularly at this time. I also thanks to God, for this blessing, and please God take care of me when I go back to Cheolwon, DMZ of South Korea. Next. Let's start today's debate. First, I'll talk for about 30 minutes and answer your questions and get comment and share your perspective. I'd like to talk critical national security issues the new president has to deal with. I want to also point out necessary of a paradigm shift, especially South Korean's perspective to the relations with US and perspective to the relation to the North. I believe that changes in perspective is necessary to resolve the Korean Peninsula problem and improve Korean strategic value. Next. As you know, Korea was in a very difficult situation internally. Political leadership had collapsed due to President Park's impeachment, and externally, South Korea has difficulties to relation with other countries, neighbor countries. As a result of this series of challenging problems, South Korea's strategic value is being weakened every moment considerably in Northeast Asia. In this situation, Moon Jae-in was elected as new president on May 9th, as a former human rights lawyer and chief of secretary of No administration, he was evaluated more progressive and liberal. And he also expressed his willingness to change the existing policy toward the North during his presidential race. Now he has been given the task of very difficult responsibility to reconcile internal and external conflict. So my question is that, what kind of diplomatic policy will South Korea develop? And how can it contribute to the security of Northeast Asia? And how South Korea secure its own strategic values? First, I will look into internal issues and trying to figure out what Korea's countermeasure will be to the external issues. Next, I prepared two features. I think the biggest problem of South Korea is the divided public sentiment. The picture on the left side is a so-called candlelight demonstration to push the government to impeach President Park. If you look very closely, you may see the majority of participants of candlelight demonstration composed of young people. They support democracy, freedom, and equality, and welfare. They are positive of the support the North, even though they feel little affinity with the North. The picture on the right side is a Taegukki demonstration, which is against the impeachment demonstration. The participants are mainly composed of elders, and they focus on valuable economic growth and anti-communism. They are at aspiration for reunification of Peninsula, but they oppose the support of the North. I think the internal conflict is simply not derived from pros and cons of the presidential impeachment. I think it is a very unusual phenomenon, comes from modern Korean history. After Korean War, in the Cold War era, Korea was ruled by anti-communism ideology and the oppression of a military dictator. So the elder generation living in this social atmosphere, they are accustomed to adapt the power of nation and president. In other words, they are used to obey the order of the nation. On the other hand, after June Democratic Movement in 1987, which was a nationwide movement for democracy, the younger generation aimed and set a goal to defeating this conservative old evil generation. In particular, these days, social problems such as rising unemployment rate and economic inequality have intensified this conflict. So the new president should alleviate this social division. If President Moon failed to solve this problem early, the government will be blocked by internal problems over the next 5 years, I think. But now he has shown lots of positive signals since his inauguration. Moon administration shows his will for reform the power organization, like prosecution and the chamber or defense acquisition program administration by a series of order for special investigating. And he made people surprised by designating female as major position, like foreign minister and patriot and federal affairs minister. These positions were usually for retired general, and foreign service exam, Korean called it Goshi, that inner circle. Also, he showed closest move to the public, even getting on his knee for elementary school students. He also attended the May 18th memorial ceremony, which was pro-democrat movement in 1980 against the military dictator Chun Doo-hwan. Such actions were not found in the former government. As he sent a strong message toward the North, Mr. Ronchi, even opposition party politician Lee Won-moon is doing well, surprisingly. According to the survey conducted last week, Moon's approval rate is going up to 82%. So it is assessed the government has created a dynamic for resolving internal and external problems. Yeah, so what is our external problem? The major problem is North Korea, everyone knows. The North Korea issue is not something that South Korea can solve independently. It is also related to the US-Korean relation and Korea-China relation and US-China relations. Also, South Korea's strategic value is linked to how South Korea will contribute in resolving the North Korea issues. Therefore, the North Korea issue is almost everything to South Korea. But next, as you can see, currently South Korea has no communication channel with North Korea. There has been no official dialogue since 2013. Over the past 10 years, the hard push against the North has failed, not only to deter the provocation, including developing nuclear weapon, but also failed to maintain dialogue between the two nations. Let's look at the recent situation. After President Trump's inauguration, every month North Korea threatened the stability of the US and Northeast Asia region by provocation missile launching test. North Korea has provoked, along with the neighbor countries, major political events. Next. Whenever North Korea launched a missile, Trump had telephone conversation with Japanese Prime Minister and Chinese President to discuss the threat posed by North Korea. Abe praised the Trump approach in using an action to show that all options on the table, and Japan will be participating the exercise with US. Also, Trump and Xi agreed to strengthen coordination to achieve denuclearization on the Korean Peninsula. She also said China firmly opposed any action that violate UN security resolution, and will do more to press North Korea dictator, including oil embargo and such. Despite these international cooperation, North Korea will continue to provoke again in order to press the new government and condemn the scheduled combined exercise in August. What can be the role of South Korea in this situation? South Korea did not have any saying regarding this issue. Over the past 6 months, South Korea was unable to make any contribution. Korea is suffering from friction with China because China has made it clear its opposition to said deployment. And due to historical conflict with Japan, it is difficult to maintain harmonious cooperation with Japan. So how about the relations with the US? Pence said trade with South Korea must change. And President Trump said South Korea should pay more for defense provided by US, including said. I think all this is because South Korea has no differentiated strategic value, its own strategic value. Therefore, the new government is determined to change the direction of foreign policy, including policy toward North Korea. Research from early 2017, people recognize the necessity of changes in North Korea policy. In addition, there will be some adjustment. of attitude toward the U.S. and China relations. Yeah, so the government will try to ease relations with North Korea, starting with humanitarian aid and civilian exchange in order to put them on the table. Last Sunday, new security chief told the South should take the lead to restore the relations. This is some signal for shift in foreign policy and to Korea relations from military base to diplomatic base. Foreign Minister nominee also mentioned the importance of humanitarian assistance. I think in this time, we need change in perspective toward the North. Yeah, supporting is not give time for the development of nuclear missile, but rather to secure the negotiating time for denuclearization. Through this effort, maintaining dialogue channel with the North can be not only mean of conveying South Korea's stance, but also improving our strategic leverage. Next page. In order to push such a soft approach to the North, President will try to strengthen cooperation with other countries. Moon administration also start over to restore diplomatic relations by sending special envoy to a neighbor country. But I think, next page, especially envoy towards China, former Prime Minister Li Hechan talked with Xi and Foreign Minister Wang Yi about this sad issue and way to repair and improve the bilateral relations. They also agree with highlighting the importance of Seoul and Beijing tie and utilizing all available means to lead North Korea's nuclear missile. Compared to other envoys, I think meeting with China covered very detailed. Such strengthening of economic, military, and diplomatic cooperation between South Korea and China that can be considerable pressure to the North, I think. If China, North Korea's major ally, has a closer relationship with South Korea, North Korea will realize that there has no place to rely on any longer. Also, friendly relationship with China might create possibility in China's push to the North Korea in talks with the South. Therefore, Korea will make effort to improve relations with China through the strengthening this cooperation and might be conditional canceling of said deployment. That's because Moon administration already said said deployment was decided without procedural legitimacy. Next. But there are some critics about this approach here. South Korea will be able to do this independently in the situation that the U.S. declare maximum pressure and engagement policy and pursued strong sanctions against North Korea. In particular, there is a criticism that even humanitarian assistance toward North Korea will provide funding for developing nuclear weapon. Not only that, people criticize that. It seems to be opposed to international sanction. Tillerson also argued that imposing secondary sanction to the country who support North Korea. And some may say, if South Korea focus on relation with China, relation then means relation with US Korea, that means relation with the United States can become worse. And it posed urgent threat to the South Korea's security. So I argue that South Korea's perception to relation with the United States needs to be changed. Yeah. I prepared some pictures where protesters against impeachment, they are holding the American national flag. South Korea, which was built and educated on United States assistance, since the independence in 1945. We are heavily dependent on the U.S. Whenever South Korea get into trouble, some South Korean thinks that U.S. will help South Korea. They are thinking in dichotomous manner. Progressing relation with China means the worsening the relation with the U.S. However, I think the current situation in which South Korea does not have any importance and does not play any role in Korean Peninsula problem, that is more aggravating the Korea-U.S. relations. As a whole nation, the United States is a nation that behaves according to its national interest. So the United States does not maintain diplomatic relation based on factor of emotion, as a general South Korean thing. It is necessary for South Korea to be uniquely helpful to the United States to solidify its relationship. Then what is that value? What benefit does Korea currently have for U.S.? In case of United-Japan alliance, historically Japan has a significant role on containment policy, and Japan's importance to regional security will grow by sharing U.S. security burden in Northeast Asia. Compared to Japan, Korea is relatively less worse, I think. Therefore, I think the way Korea raised its strategic value and status is to improve relation with North Korea. By doing so, South Korea needs being capable of deterring North Korea's provocation and has capability to control and communicate with North Korea whenever crisis happen. Judging from Trump's some remarks, I guess that he understands the need of dialogue with the North. Also, in the past, South Korea have had many conversation with North Korea, from military talk to high-level summit. So if South Korea can replace China's role, everyone will be able to recognize Korea's strategic value to its neighbor and the U.S. Therefore, I think it is time for South Korea to develop itself to be a mediator of inter-Korean relations. That it should take the leverage or initiative in resolving problem of the Korean Peninsula. That is all I have to say. So I will be glad and grateful for your question and comment. Any sort of advice and perspective are welcome, but please ask readers slowly, and I will double check whether I understand it correctly or not. Yeah, thank you for your understanding.
Any questions for Major Chen? You can call on whoever you like.
So like in April, you know, the tension between South Korea and North Korea has risen a lot. Do you think America or China would take any kind of military action towards North Korea, like during Moon's presidency?
Your question is China and U.S. trying to use military option against North Korea?
Yeah, do you think that's possible?
I think it is impossible. Yeah. Basically, it's my personal opinion, not my headquarters opinion. I think North Korea's purpose of provocation is to maintain its regime, Kim Jong-un's regime. So, and China's purpose is continuation of North Korea, because it is more positive to Chinese interest. But U.S.'s purpose is denuclearization of North Korea. So using military option means the war, maybe third world war. So they don't use any kind of military option.
Okay.
also is very serious. It caused very serious problem to South Korea's economy or South Korea's South Korea and Japan, including Japan. But the North Korea don't have anything to lose. Yeah, so that's a major obstacle for using military option, I think.
I just want to add
opinion. I introduced him. He is also major of South Korea Army, and we are same class, 2006 class.
That's why I'm here from Kansas. And then, just I want to give a little bit historical sides about perspective about the U.S. action, military action toward North Korea, because you know that in 1994, when the North Korean tried to develop nuclear facilities, and the Clinton administration was almost ready to fight, to have a war against North Korea, but they gave up. And one of the reasons is that the casualties and the influence about the war was so significant, and you cannot allow that, even United States can have a war with North Korea, and everyone knows it's a tragedy. And I think one of the main reasons that you saw the recent news that Trump finally made his policy toward North Korea as pressure and engagement, and they say that we are excluding their military engagement against North Korea. And for China, you know that their main primary purpose on foreign policy is the regional stability in Northeast Asia, and they worried about refugees, and even they worried about if the war happened between the U.S. and North Korea, they really worried about the U.S. forces in the border of China.
Yeah.
So they all avoid the war. So I think neither of U.S. and China actually not want the war between the North. So it did not just end up with a surgical.
Yeah. Do you think there's any possibility for a regime change in North Korea then? Do you think that's a possibility? Because North Korea, like Kim Jong-un, isn't really doing what China wants him to do right now. And it's just, what I'm trying to say is, like, do you think there's gonna be a regime change? And do you think that's possible?
Actually, China loses their influence on North Korea. Yeah.
If they.
But China's purpose is continuation of Kim Jong-un's regime. They just want North Korea has continue its existence. So, I think. Regime change, China does not consider about regime change, what regime, they doesn't care about who have regime in North Korea. So China want, if China wants, they trying to do, but there's no way to change its regime because North Korea's regime, Kim Jong-un regime, I think it's very key. Solidify the eternal bond.
Right.
Yeah. So I think in order to change its regime, we have more support. So we push them, North Korean people, made them exposed to outside influence, outside culture or improving their life standard. Such things make them some cause uprising, like his book, Nation in Building South Korea. U.S. made some foundation for democratic movement. Like that, we have to push it, North Korean people.
I had a comment. Sorry, my name is June Park. I flew from Singapore. I had some meetings here. I'm quite jet lagged, so please excuse me if I understood something wrong. So one comment that let's just start with a very small question that I didn't probably understand. I think you said something like Japan is less worse than something on South Korea. Did you say something like that?
Japan?
I think it was maybe three slides prior. I couldn't really understand it. So, well, let's just forget about it if you can't answer that. The comment that I had was, within this framework, I think it's really enlightening how, you know, you point out how the alliance system has really structured without having any say from the South Korean side. This is really unfair, right? But the whole picture is not really there if you exclude Russia and Japan in the picture. So just replacing China, first of all, it's not really realistic at this point, but if we were to really say South Korea has to have an independent voice with regard to the peninsular issues, then it's not just about South Korea taking the role of China as a negotiator stance, but also including what Russia wants and Japan wants and trying to kind of defy these things. So in a sense, I think what's missing in your framework is how geopolitical actors, mm-hmm. everybody on the table, mm-hmm. wants what. What America wants is what you said, denuclearization, which is kind of impossible. And stupid, too. So that's, I think the point that you're making is really valid. However, we're not really sure, because Russia is really playing the role of a, if China doesn't really supply North Koreans with oil or the financial sources that it needs, Russia is always there for them, because Russia and China are trying to play this out in a more game theory-like situation. So I don't know if you want to expand your framework, or I'm not sure what you're thinking about in terms of if you think that replacing China as a negotiator on the table is the important thing, or I'm not sure what you wanted to say in terms of that. I think you want to say South Korea has to change the chessboard a little bit by increasing the say. Am I reading it correctly? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Actually, in my presentation, there I didn't deal about Japan and Russia issues. That's my limitation, I think. But I think since 1990, South Korea has a relation with Russia, but we did not priority for relation with Russia. It is a fact. But I agree with you, the unification of two Korean is unlikely to happen without cooperation, Japan and Russia, around the country. So it also necessary. China has limitation to pressing sanction or pressure against North because of each, their interest. But unlike China, Russia has no reason to oppose unification of peninsula, I think. Because South Korea's unification means for Russia there is a beginning of economic cooperation, economic development for Eurasia, peaceful Eurasia. Also Russia prepare economic cooperation with South Korea. There is no political obstacle between South Korea and Russia. Russia always trying to close access to South Korea, but we doesn't take care about Russia. Even in six-party talk, Russia had according to Peter Charles book, Russia always set one room and watching TV. and some conflict happens, then China and the U.S. call Russia, hey, be mediator, as mediator, what are you doing? Stop watching TV and come here. Then Russia has played that role. So it's one part of a solution. We, South Korea, have to more close relation with Russia to support such an approach.
I don't want to dominate the question, George, but looking at the U.S.-Russia relations right now, do you think the Russians have no stake at all on the mm-hmm. Korean Peninsula issues? I kind of disagree. Mm-hmm. Even if they watch TV in that like negotiation setting, it's probably because they have nothing to get out of it.
Yeah,
that's but very if the case is that China doesn't have a say in these issues, then Russia might want a say in these issues.
Yeah, that's very good and very difficult to answer. I'm sorry about that. I didn't prepare about that. Yeah.
I think what you can do is kind of compare the situation in the Middle East, maybe. Russians don't want to get out of the Middle East situation, and all the more, I think they're just waiting to see how this scenario plays out in Korea, so that, you know, at one time, they can just jump in and say something.
Thank you for your comment. Yeah.
Other questions? Let me ask something. I'm interested in knowing what you think about sanctions against North Korea. Because I think, you know, I don't know if I'd agree with you that military strike is completely off the table. I would say if North Korea does certain things, like if one of their missiles hits Japan, then you could see a strike. They can push the boundary limit a little bit, but eventually if they push too hard, there could be military retaliation. But I think that's, you know, as you said, that's not the most likely. And I also don't think it's that likely that Trump is going to sit down with Kim Jong-un and negotiate anytime soon. He's saying he'd like to, and, you know, but I don't see them getting together. So the most likely course is sanctions. But, you know, I wonder what you think about the ability of sanctions to be more effective, because there are distinctive schools of thought on this in the United States. There are some people who claim, no, you can sanction and sanction, but the regime is always going to survive. They're never going to be the ones that starve, and their close loyalists are never going to have any problem. And so, therefore, sanctions, while they can be inconvenient, they're ultimately not going to be effective. But then I've seen other people arguing, no, the problem is that you need to increase the sanctions, and they need to be enforced more strictly by secondary actors. So for instance, now the United States may be complying with the UN sanctions to the greatest extent possible, but China clearly isn't. And there's also probably a lot of other countries that North Korea does business with, like say Yemen or Sudan and other countries in the Middle East and Africa that North Korea has dealings with, Iran. They're not going to impose, you know, they're not going to agree to the sanctions. And if you enforce it, the problem is you end up looking like a bully, because then you also have to sanction Iran and Yemen and all of the other countries that don't comply. So I'm wondering, though, if you think that sanctions have been used as effectively as they could be, and if there's a way to make them more effective, what should be done?
Yeah, I totally agree on the any kind of sanction was ineffective. Yeah, so I agree that. But so I think in order to deter North Korea's provocation, we think about why the reason they provoke. Yeah, why they provoke? Why do they provoke? Yeah, I think they major priority is to maintain its regime and use as mean of negotiation and solidify internal bond North Korean peoples. So we have to prepare long-term perspective. Actually, I don't specify the way how to do that. We need to prepare long-term perspective for making favorable environment to the next administration. We try to get short-term immediate outcomes. So make them focus, make North Korea focus on some their inner problems. Yeah, I think that their provocation is because of they can only focus on provocation by nuclear missile. If they have an inner problem like uprising or something, some actions, they can't provocation. Okay, can't focus on the provocation. So that's why I argue that we need to more humanitarian assistance and more civilian exchange that can make change in North Korea inner politics. So then North Korea can't focus on the provocation. That's I think that's a way, kind of way, for effective way rather than sanction. Yeah, because North Korea has maintained their regime and their country, even though every country is trying to force every kind of sanction.
So with the provocations, it seems like the North Koreans are trying to drive the community to come back to the negotiating table. But what do you think would be a likely outcome of that? Is it just going to be a continuation of talks, but still no actual change or halting of the program? I understand you can't really denuclearize the peninsula. It's too far gone. You can't take away the intellect and the knowledge that they've attained. But this last missile test, it was an intermediate range, mm-hmm. and it's showing the growing missile capacity. Right. And I think that's, they might not particularly try, but they could inadvertently cause some sort of greater crisis by maybe hitting Japan, even without actually focusing to target.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I perfectly understand what your question.
My question is, if they could get back to negotiate, the provocations, you're provocating to get to something else. I assume that they want to get back to negotiating maybe six-party talks, mm-hmm. and then get some sort of carrots from the other parties for them to stop their activities or halt them. Is that likely, or is the short-term, medium-term outlook just more missile tests, more strong words, sanction threats, but still continuing this cycle?
Yeah, actually, North Korea always did provocations, even though they were on the table. Yeah, so if we want to get rapid freezing the nuclear denuclearization, freezing North Korea's nuclear weapon, if we want to immediate outcomes, then one way is to a strategic target attacking on their missile facility. But I think it is it's just some ridiculous. We have to continue negotiation, even though we can get some results useful. Because whenever we put North Korea on the table, but we I feel some uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I have some trouble to pop up appropriate word. So yeah. So even though we get useful and. Useful and substantial result, we can't fail to get such a result. We try to push them on the negotiation table, because that's a way for denuclearization. Even though they provoke again, so if we. Would you have? Interpret. 우리가 효과가 없다고 손을 놓는다 하더라도 계속하지 않는다면 현상에 변화가 없을 것이다.
So even if we don't get like results,
sorry about that.
We can't just do nothing because that won't change the situation. So we have to do something to change the situation.
Do you understand what my question is? Like, it just seems like, first, I don't think Trump will go back to negotiations easily.
Okay.
And then second, I mean, the continuing, like, I see that there's the correlation, there's the election in Korea, there's, you know, Trump saying something, and then there's a corresponding provocation by North Korea. This continuing back and forth can't really continue in this pattern. Like, it has to, we have to get to something better.
Yeah.
But if you're back into some type of negotiations, what would be something that could improve the situation?
So are you saying what must be done to change the
what is, I guess,
yeah, it is a comment?
Yeah, I can translate. 그러니까 협상으로 인해서 더 얻는 게 뭐냐고 질문하시는 거예요.
협상
계속된 협상으로 우리가 얻는 게, 그러니까 상황이 진척되는 게 어떻게 진척되느냐.
뭘 해야 된다는
거 아니에요? Just have the same idea with you, mm-hmm. negative negotiation. How can make
I'm not negative about negotiations. Yeah, I just want to know, like, how can we frame a negotiation to get to a more positive?
Because as you see, the historical pattern about negotiation with the United States and North Korea, because North Korea always want to do something big carrot and they're giving up the nuclear weapons. And I think North Korea wouldn't give up the nuclear weapons. And unless they get some peace treaty or withdraw U.S. forces in South Korea, but that will U.S. never accept for that. So I think it's like a stalemate. But the reality that we can do in a negotiation is at least not giving them all the nuclear weapons, but we can just freeze their nuclear weapon development.
So you think the freezing,
freezing.
Is the
and
best
then we can,
target?
Yeah, have some time to do some action, to do some more to North Korea. And that's the real, I think, possible way that can we get from the negotiation.
But I don't see how this thing is going to be done with the new president's sunlight policy.
Sunshine
policy. Yeah. Because like we already saw that, you know, being nice to North Korea and like funding them fails every single time, and they so I don't know how that's gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want to give the same question, like, because your main argument is that the South Korea can do some mediator role.
Yeah, but that contradicts the president's policy.
Right.
So.
And even in 2006, as you know, the South Korea tried to do some role balance power in Northeast Asia, but it's totally failed. And even the situation right now is more difficult compared to 2006. And in reality, how can South Korea do that?
So my argument is that we don't have, South Korea doesn't have our own policy, I think, policy direction toward North Korea. Just following the U.S., guided by U.S. So sunshine policy of President Kim and No administration, that was failed due to internal opposition.
In South Korea?
Yeah, in South Korea. That's because our, as I mentioned, South Korea was built and some U.S. influence. So people think we only focus on relation with the U.S., not other country.
Well, isn't that the most important thing? I think.
So this is the time changing some environment. So I think we had. Have to do such a sunshine policy continuously to the next administration.
If I may help him a little bit, during his presentation, he pointed out that, you know, the reasons why, the fundamental reason why provocations are persisting is because they're not going to give up the nuclear weapons. And from the society, so bottom-up kind of a demonstration, something that you've seen in the Arab Spring or something that you've seen elsewhere in terms of civil demonstrations cannot happen because of the structure. So he's saying that soft power-wise, you have to penetrate into the society through civil and cultural exchanges which have been stalled since Lee Myung-bak popped in May. And that's why keeping the channel open, even if you can't get something out of them, is crucial. And also in that process, you need to kind of gain your leverage, not rely totally on the United States. Of course, U.S.-Korea alliance is important. It's right. A very, very important yeah. agreement. But you can't just sit there and just be dictated by what the U.S. says. That's what I think he is trying to argue.
Yes, yeah, perfectly right. What are you saying?
Because I have exactly the same opinion.
Well, if I can ask you a question.
Sure.
From a South Korean perspective, what is your midterm, long-term goal? Is it reunification?
I think the long-term goal for South Korea could be a two-state solution. But something that could... For the Taegukki demonstrators, it could seem like a, you know, out of this world kind of a solution. So maybe for the young generation or unborn generation that we don't have right now, for them, it would be really important to see how the peninsula could function as a unity. In the case that maybe, you know, North Korea has an internal problem, it probably has, but it just doesn't erupt in the sense that we would want it to be. Probably that's why we don't see this option of nuclear freeze as something viable. I mean, okay, you could do this with Iran maybe, but look at the Iranians. They want to vote for a moderate government. They want to live a good life. That may come for the North Koreans too, because they've been suppressed for how many years? I don't know. So if that comes into reality, then chances are you could have a two-state solution if all these big boys sitting at the table, they are okay with it. But nobody's going to be okay with it. So in turn, you have to solve this in an external kind of situation. Moon Jae-in has two tasks. He has to reconcile the public opinion first. And that's not going to be easy until these people die. The Taegukki, like 60s, 70s, 80s.
Right.
So that generation goes. So right now in Iran, most of the population wants change. The people of the before the revolution, so people who are born after the revolution are the majority of the population. So that mindset can change in the longer term if we believe in the agenda. But right now, I think too many old people are in the here and there. Everybody is old, so what can you do? You can't really change things. Sorry.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Major Nam for your talk.
Thank you.
Well, I would like to comment on your question about what Korea, I guess, should do. I think Korea should first... well, as Ms. Park said, the president should, I guess, talk to the Korean public first, so we have a common ideal, I guess, common idea of what we should do. But Korea as a whole, South Korea as a whole, should first, I guess, achieve a technical reunification, let's reunify, reunify, not that, but we should, like, I guess, open more, I guess, public engagement, like talks, not on a government level, like just as what happened earlier in 2000s, like South Koreans, the public could go to tourists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if those things increase, then like, so I feel like the South Korean public, we have like a, since the North Koreans are provocating like every time to time, we're very, I guess, more negative towards North Korea than the past, because they're provocating every time, and so we should try to get rid of that sentiment, like the negative sentiment, by I guess talking to them more on a public level, and then we should like reopen the, I guess, the industrial area. And then that would lead us to more economic engagement. And then after all those things happen step by step, then we should talk about the reunifying. That not just saying, let's reunify first, and then doing all those stuff. that makes sense.
Thank you for your comment. Actually, I think it is too progressive argument as a military officer. So I have to report about this contest to my headquarters. So now I'm worried about my ending of career.
I have a question to Major. As a military personnel officer, do you think these situations are critical to the army and the armed forces as well? Because I feel like the army should be ready. The armed forces should be ready and have a strong readiness posture anytime. But that's should be regardless of who takes in power. The change in the president, I don't think that should play a big role in how the armed forces act.
I think it's my public, it's my personal opinion, so please don't record. I think our